The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Tokens Radio Show. And today is Sunday, March the 19th. And we're coming to you live from KCNR Studios in beautiful Redding, California.
Yeah, as we kind of see it, rain, snow,
yes,
rain out there.
Absolutely. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
And Liam, our esteemed producer, who is helping to ensure a smooth broadcast. How are you doing?
I'm hanging out.
Awesome. If you missed any of our previous shows, fear not. They're all available in our archives at tokensradioshow.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Telegram at Tokens Radio Show. And for those who want to join the conversation, give us a call at 530-605-4567 or hop into our chat room, which is currently open for those following for open.
Okay. Yeah, and just in case, I don't know, the FM was kind of wigging out a little bit earlier.
Yes, it was.
So if that is still happening, you can always, again, switch over to AM. I think it has to do with the weather. But
yeah.
AM, of course, isn't as good, but it doesn't have the wompiness. So,
isn't that the truth? It has been wompy lately.
Yeah, it has. Everything's a little wompy, but and we will get into that.
So if you're following cryptocurrency, you are going to be
very
excited to hear that Bitcoin was currently, well, just when I recently checked, was at 28,218. Ethereum's 18.25. XRP is 39 cents. And XLM is at 8 cents.
You know, it's nice that you do these numbers and let people know where things are. I'm getting lately with people in my office saying, do you think Bitcoin's going to go up? Yes. When do you think it's going to stop? I don't know. So, I mean, there's a lot of predictions out there about where the price is going, just like with gold and silver, but it is definitely going up.
And we're going to talk about perhaps some of the reasons why.
There you go.
In fact, most of the show is going to be about that.
We are talking money.
Well, and this portion of the show is sponsored by Pearson Construction, so let's
give it a whirl.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh.
Okay, so that is not running. So
okay, well, I'll go ahead and do it. We'll get that showed up for our future show. This portion of the show is sponsored by Pearson Construction. Pearson Construction, Excavation, and Fire Cleanup are your post-fire cleanup and storm damage experts. With wildfires and winter storms continuing to devastate Northern California each year, their mission is to help fire and storm victims with all stages of post-fire cleanup, storm damage repair, and construction. We work with your insurance and county building division to guide you through every step of the process. Pearson Construction has been known as an all-inclusive builder, taking our clients' projects from beginning to end. They draw your building plans, pull your county permits, and prepare your building site, including all necessary underground work. Then we make all your dreams come true. Building your custom dream home, including your barn. Please contact Luke Pearson at Pearson Construction, Excavation, and Fire Cleanup at 530-605-9575 or at lpearsonconstruction.com.
Well, that's great. And what crypto speak definition do we have today?
Well, you know, I was having a hard time with it this week. There's just so much. So I went back to our trusty little cards that we got at the Pacific Bitcoin, and I saw two for currency. And I thought, well, that's kind of appropriate. But then why do we have two?
Interesting.
Because one is just on currency, and one is in regards to money printing.
Right up there with what we're going to talk about today.
So the one about printing, it says, currency, money, printer, go burr. Inflation. Let me get this so I can see it. Money, printer, go burr. Is a rise in prices of goods and services. The rise in prices means that a unit of currency will buy less than it could previously. Inflation is caused primarily by inflating the money supply with new currency money printing, which devalues the currency in relationship to goods and services and other assets. Its effect is the decline of purchasing power of currency over time. Inflation is also known as the hidden tax. Then we have a quote. Inflation is as violent as a mugger, as frightening as an armed robber, and as deadly as a hitman. By Ronald Reagan.
Wow. Great quote.
So there you go.
Wouldn't we agree with that?
Yeah. Indeed. It's another way to look at it. They are robbing us. They are mugging us. So there you have it.
Well, I think that message will be loud and clear by the end of the show today. Well, there's so much news.
Oh, yeah.
There was just so much to go through. And what we ended up having queued up was about 34 stories, and we had to pare them down. And hopefully we have a somewhat of a coherent message for you today. And Linda, why don't you go ahead?
All right. So, well, like you said, it looks like the good old U.S. banks are having a bit of a rough time out there. In case you've been living under a rock, let me give you the rundown on some of the latest news. First up, we have HSBC has graciously agreed to acquire Silicon Valley Bank's UK unit for a grand total of £1. Yes, you heard me right. £1. I guess they figured they had to pay something for it, right? I mean, they couldn't do it for free. I guess they could have. But wait, there's even more to this story. Can you believe it? The UK government has promised to protect depositors and limit the fallout from the bank's inevitable collapse with no help from taxpayers, of course. Yeah, right. Sure. Shall we wink, wink on that one? I mean, you know. Because why should the taxpayers have to bail out these big banks again? And speaking of Silicon Valley Bank, it seems like they've got some trouble on their hands, too. Shareholders are now suing the bank, imagine that, along with the CEO, Greg Becker, and CFO, Daniel Beck, for violating security laws by allegedly hiding the fact that they were vulnerable to a bank run caused by rising interest rates. Would have never saw that coming. That's why they sold stuff up, little bit before that, right?
Yes.
So surprise, surprise that exactly is what happened, you know. I'm sure a lot of people out there aren't that surprised. The bank lost $1.8 billion and had to raise $2.25 billion with a B. Dollars and capital and depositors started pulling their money out left and right, causing a good old-fashioned bank run, which we have talked about many a time.
Right.
On this, the shareholders are claiming that SVB should have warned them about the possibilities of a bank run, especially given the current interest rate environment. Mm-hmm. You think that they would notify their people and let them know that what was going to happen?
Oh.
And just when you think it couldn't be any more to this story, the Roslyn Law Firm has also launched a class action lawsuit against Signature Bank and its top executives, allegedly yet another violation of federal security laws. It looks like the U.S. banks are in hot water, and it's only a matter of time before more lawsuits start pulling up. Good luck to them, I guess.
Yeah, indeed. It's just that's how all of the news articles have been.
Right. And it's not like it's just one or two banks.
Oh no, this is a systemic problem worldwide.
Yeah, it's it.
I mean, we're being a little snarky about it, but it's a very serious problem that we're experiencing, and really, what this show's all about.
Yeah, I believe we're up to like 5 banks, and they're even talking about like 196 different banks being involved in this whole
very
lovely
true.
Story. So there you have it.
Oh, and the drama continues.
No.
UBS and Credit Suisse are in talks to merge with regulators breathing down their necks to get a deal done by Monday morning. That's like probably already happening across the pond. Apparently, UBS is feeling the heat from Swiss authorities to rescue its flailing rival Credit Suisse, which recently took a nosedive in the market after losing funding from the Saudis. And we're going to mention a little bit more about that later. And this, and get this, UBS is even seeking a cool $6 billion from the Swiss government to cover the costs of the takeover. Talk about a bailout, but hold on, there may be a snag. The merger could result in a loss of 10,000 jobs. Of course, there's got to be a sacrifice.
Yikes. Here we go, folks.
To add to the chaos, the collapse of the U.S. bank, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank, is causing interest rate hikes that are putting pressure on the banking sector globally. Banking stocks are taking a hit, and smaller lenders are scrambling to stay afloat. Big U.S. banks are throwing lifelines left and right, seeking emergency liquidity from the Federal Reserve, and asking for extended federal insurance to all deposits for the next 2 years. In short, the banking world is in shambles, and it looks like bigger banks will get bigger while smaller banks may struggle to keep up or shut down altogether. Meanwhile, the regulators are calling for greater oversight and accountability, and even President Biden is getting involved, demanding higher fines, clawbacks, and barring officials from failed banks. Here's another opportunity for Joe to mess things up. And here's what Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, also known as Mr. Wonderful, has to say.
All right.
Shark Tank Judge Kevin O'Leary, who is the chairman of O'Leary.
There we go.
And is here to join us. What are you hoping to hear from President Biden?
Well, I think I know what he's going to say. I don't think he'll say it in the way I'm suggesting. But what effectively happened over the weekend is that he nationalized the American banking system. Mm. It's no longer a risk. It's no longer private in any sense. It is now backstopped by the government, ultimately the taxpayer. So it doesn't matter how bad you are as a bank manager, and a good example is what happened at Silicon Valley Bank. That was a combination of a negligent board of directors and idiot management. That's a very powerful cocktail when put together, and it completely wiped out that bank. And that's what should have happened.
Well, that sums it up. The good old days of community banking may be coming to an end, and I don't know, all I could say is hold on to your folks' hats, folks.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
The way of banking is going to change.
That's for sure. We may not have too many banks here pretty soon.
I'm afraid that's true.
Right. Meanwhile, it looks like the Bureau of Labor and Statistics has some good news for us. Not really. They never usually do. Inflation rates have slightly decelerated. But before you get too excited, let's not forget the prices are still above the Fed's target of 2% and have been on the rise for 17 consecutive months. So don't feel too good, huh? You know, including your food, energy, and shelter prices. And don't even get me started on real wages out there, which have declined for the 23rd straight month. Who needs a raise, right? You don't want a raise, do you, Chris, over there?
Nah.
But again, like we've said before, there's even more to the story. 3 major U.S. banks have failed, and I believe it's like 5 now, leading Moody's Investor Service to downgrade the rating of the entire U.S. banking system from stable to negative. Great, just what we needed. Another reason to be concerned about the state of our economy, right?
Yeah.
And if that wasn't enough, the dollar is taking a beating. Saudi Arabia is now open to discussing trade in currencies other than the U.S. dollar, including the euro and Saudi. I'm not sure how you say, Ryle?
Yes, I believe so.
I think it is. China is also expressing interest in settling trade in the yen, while Saudi Arabia is exploring ways to invest $10 billion, that's with a B, in Pakistan and support other nations. Looks like the dollar resigned. The world currency may be jeopardy. But hey, let's not worry too much, right? After all, policies is just brutal and dangerous sport. What could possibly go wrong with this whole thing? The Saudis depegging the U.S. dollar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there goes the petrodollar.
Exactly.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that.
All right. I'm glad we will.
Yes. So, tell me, Linda, is it possible that ESG policies contributed to the collapse of SVB?
Oh, no.
I'd say probably. In 2022, SVB pledged $5 billion to support companies that aim to promote a sustainable, low-carbon, net-zero emissions economy in alignment with environmental, social, and governance principles.
So you mean to tell me at their discretion, just like everything else, they decide who gets it and who's not?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the bottom line. SVB, though, is not the only one. Signature Bank's Social Impact Report for 2020 highlights their ESG-focused approach, discussing their negative environmental impacts and introducing a social credit score scheme. The bank committed to developing a bank-wide credit policy that refrains from granting loans to companies affiliated with fossil fuels, firearms, armaments, and military products industries in adherence to ESG considerations. Instead, the bank provided over $168 million in loans to renewable energy, social initiatives, and recycling-related projects. Remember Solyndra, Linda? Remember
that?
Oh,
yes. Yep. Yeah, how could we forget that one?
Oh, what a colossal disaster that was. Moreover, a link has been uncovered between SVB and the California Partners Project, the CPP, both of which operate with an ESG-driven agenda. CPP donated a total of $100,000 to SVB in 2021, and a CPP board member named John China, who serves as the president of SVB Capital, launched by California Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom's wife, Jennifer. CPP prioritizes promoting ESG initiatives. Oh, there's nothing to see here.
Nothing at all. Wow.
And to wrap up the news, never let a good crisis to go to waste. Where have we heard that before? Anyway, it seems some governments have taken this advice to heart, using the recent collapse of Silicon Valley Bank as an opportunity to push for the introduction of central bank digital currencies. But wait, there's more. There's more.
More to the story. And here's the rest of the story.
Officials are apparently planning to use the fear of social media bank runs and financial instability to promote CBDCs as a safer and more stable option. How convenient. Of course, those who jump on the CBDC bandwagon should be prepared to sacrifice their financial privacy and freedom, as the government will have unprecedented control over how, when, and where they can spend their hard-earned money. No cashews.
No cashews for you.
You have had your limit.
Yep.
Sure, CBDCs may provide short-term convenience during times of financial uncertainty, but at what cost? The long-term consequences of giving up our financial privacy and freedom are far too steep to ignore. It seems that once again, governments are using people's fears to push their own agendas, and CBDCs are no exception. So let's not fall for their false promises of safety and stability, and remain vigilant in protecting our rights and freedoms. And that is your news wrap-up. Yeah.
And that is so true about it. You know, we've talked about it, and I'm sure we'll talk about it some more, how, you know, Bitcoin bad to start with, it's a Ponzi scheme, blah, 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 blah. But now that we have, we'll have control over your cryptocurrency, it's all good, Chris.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you ate too many cashews, maybe we'll let you have a peanut or two, you know, next week with our CBDCs.
Well, and the story that didn't make the cut was the FedNow coin is going to be out this July.
Yeah.
It is definitely coming, and it may actually be used for retail. So this is your non-CBDC CBDC coin.
Again, but it is centralized. It is not decentralized at all.
This is the gaslighting that goes on.
Yeah.
They give it a different name. They distract you, say, hey, look over here on the left. Look at this left hand over here. Well, something's going on completely on the other side of your face, and you're not paying attention to that.
Right.
Right? And that's just the way it goes. And the gaslighting is, it's disgusting. And I hope that people can see what's going on here.
Right. And I want to go back to the banking a little bit there. Is, you know, we have clients that had their money in SVB and everything, and they're saying, oh, I'll just pull my money out when it opens up and goes to Wells Fargo. There is no difference. Just want people to know, if you're taking it from one bank and stuffing it in another bank, it's no different.
Yeah. That's true.
You're still going to be caught in it, so don't let it happen.
Yeah, the best way to go about, and we're going to talk at length about this in the second half of the hour, but about what is really needed here, and you need to have solid assets,
mm-hmm.
hard assets, and you're also going to want to look to local.
Right. Go back to the parallel economy. We've talked about it before. We will be talking about it more. It's never more important than right now for start making the relationships.
Right.
And we are really trying to bring that home. So if anybody's listening out there, wasn't part of what I was going to say, but if you know of something, some goods or something that somebody has or can offer the community or help the community, get a hold of us.
Yeah.
Let us know, please.
Don't be in the shadows.
Yeah.
Come on out. Make yourself known, and we're doing something like the, to bring people together, and this is in conjunction with the folks over at the Reading Bitcoin Center who pretty much spearheaded a part
right,
of this project,
yeah.
And we're taking on another part of it, and this is some serious business, as this county has always rallied around the political stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We're rallying the people around our livelihood. Although the politics affects our livelihood, there's no doubt about that.
If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't even be thinking
that's
about this
right.
parallel economy thing.
Exactly.
But it's very important.
They're all related. And,
yeah.
And we need to have everybody shake hands and work together on that.
Right.
It's very important.
It's very important. So, again, get a hold of us.
Absolutely.
And let us know. And it can be anything.
Right.
Absolutely anything. I mean, we know people. I got some bread makers, you know, contact with them. Soap people, honey people, beef people. I mean, it's all over. So whatever you got, bring it to the table, please.
Absolutely. And you can find us at Tokens Radio Show on Twitter. You can DM us there. You can DM us on Telegram. You can send us a message.
And with that, I guess we are going to take a break, and we will see you on the other side. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearm Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Hi, this is Sue McClain, the sales manager here at KCNR. And if you've been considering advertising, but you're not really sure where to start, well, you can start with a phone call. My number is 530-605-4565. I can let you know how much our rates are and how we can help. So once again, if you have any questions regarding advertising and how we can help your business, our number once again, 530-605-4565. And thanks for listening to KCNR.
Betsy has a scratch.
Who has a what?
Betsy, my car. She has a big old scratch on her side. Honey, I've had her since college.
I know, honey. Take her to Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. It's going to be okay. Remember, that's where you told me to take my car because they do minor and major auto body repair and full paint jobs. And it looks like she could use one.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair.
You know they do free estimates. Call 530-226-0992. Write it down.
Got it. 530-226-0992.
Start the second half of the hour, and the affiliate partner who is sponsoring this part of the show is Swan Bitcoin.
Let her go. Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Well, welcome back. If you want to call in, the phone number here is 530-605-4567. And before we went to break, we were talking about, the collapsing monetary system, the banking system, where this is leading, the parallel economy. So we got a couple good things we want to go over with you folks. So take it away, Chris.
Yeah, this is some serious stuff that we're facing right now. As much as we'd like to laugh about it and hope it goes away, it's not. This is time to really get serious.
Well, it's time to buckle up, as they say, Spanky.
Yeah. Buckle up, Spanky.
Because here we go.
So we're going to talk about how we got into this financial mess, but a good way to tee this off is to have a little word from Milton Friedman.
The essential thing that they have to know is who spends whose money. Consider the following situation. First, you spend your own money. When you spend money, you can spend either your own or somebody else's. You can spend it on yourself or on somebody else. That gives you four sets, which are very important to understand. If you spend money on yourself, you're very careful how much you spend, and you're very careful how you spend it. If you spend your money on somebody else, you buy a gift for someone. You're still careful about how much you spend, but you don't pay quite so much attention to how you spend it. And that is a little worse than spending your own money on yourself. But now if you spend somebody else's money on yourself, that's different. Then you don't care how much you spend, but you're very careful that you get as much as you can for what you spend. But then take the fourth of those. When you spend somebody else's money on somebody else, then you neither give much attention to how much you spend, nor how you spend it, how carefully you spend it. And that fourth situation is government. All government can do is to take some people's money and spend it on other people. And that is why there is so much waste, so much corruption in government spending.
And that is a fact, Jack.
You know, it was so simple, too.
Yes.
I really liked the way he did that. Yeah. It was very simple, but, anybody could understand that concept the way he put it across.
And I love that about Milton Friedman. And he was not always a conservative kind of guy, but his economics definitely brought him home.
Yeah. If I can spend somebody else's money, I'm good.
That's it. You know, hey, I'm going to spend your money, Linda, and I'm going to go ahead and give it over there to Liam because I know Liam won't care, and you won't mind, Linda, because it's for the greater good.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
It.
You guys okay with that?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Sure.
All
yeah.
right. Yep.
Just don't be taking my cashews, Liam.
So, let's talk about how we got into this financial mess. Well, the reason behind the current financial mess in the world can be traced back to, in part, to the Bretton Woods Agreement of 1944. And it does go back farther than that, but this is kind of, it's a crucial time in history. This historical event was organized to address the economic issues arising around World War I, where reparation payments and gold standard loopholes caused economic havoc and eventually led to World War II. While returning to the pre-World War I gold standard was deemed impractical, the conference aimed to establish a new monetary order that balanced the legitimacy of gold with the benefits of central bank fiat money. Before World War I, gold was directly convertible at banks, and currencies were backed by gold, which kept them scarce and stable.
So, I don't want to mean to interrupt. So, you mean I could take my gold in and trade it one for one kind of thing?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, that piece of paper that they gave you that said it was...
whatever, yeah, whether it was 10 or right. 20 or 1 yeah. or whatever it
exactly.
was.
Exactly. It would be a 1 for 1.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. That's right. However, the introduction of central banking allowed some countries to print more money than their reserves, leading to the suspension of convertibility and the eventual bankruptcy of their currencies. To maintain the advantages of a gold standard, the Bretton Woods delegates decided to introduce a gold exchange standard with the U.S. dollar as the settlement currency. And on August 15, 1971, President Richard Nixon announced a temporary suspension of the dollar's convertibility into gold, marking one of the most significant events in U.S. history.
Again, not to interrupt, but you said temporary.
That's right. Nothing's temporary in government.
Oh, thank you. There yes. you go.
A very astute observation. This move effectively killed the last remnants of the gold standard and defaulted on the obligation to redeem the dollar for gold at $35 an ounce, making the dollar a pure fiat currency with no backing. Now, just a slight digression here. In 1971 is when we brought out the petrodollar, and that was the arrangement with the Saudis. Mm. So in the news section that we were talking about this story, that's where that significance is. They basically broke Bretton Woods.
Right, and that's going back, you know, how many years? To 71.
52 years.
So
before 1971, gold had been mankind's most enduring form of money for over 2,500 years due to its unique characteristics, including its durability, its divisibility, its consistency, its convenient scarcity, and resistance to inflation. However, after the suspension of the gold standard, the world went on a fiat currency standard for the first time in human history. This new system allowed the U.S. government to print as many dollars as it wanted without the discipline of the gold standard to hold it in check.
So it wasn't one for one because there was no gold, so what the heck?
Well,
just push the printing button, okay?
Right.
Would you, Chris?
That
just
happened after 71, right.
Yeah.
Nothing to see there. So in the past 50 years, the fiat system has become increasingly self-destructive with its downfall accelerating in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. Think about Bitcoin.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a comment in the chat room, yes. too. Remember back in the, before 1971, the government did ask the citizens to turn in their gold. I believe it was in the late 20s, early 30s.
Woodrow Wilson administration.
Yeah.
That's correct. And
that is
a
very
period
true.
Of time that was significant. And one day we're going to talk about Jekyll Island, by the way. So thank you very much for that, Jimmy. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Former Fed Chair Bernanke promised Congress that the extreme money printing programs, which the media euphemistically called QE or quantitative easing, were temporary emergency measures. Yeah, right.
Again, there's a word, temporary, remember? That's getting me scared.
However, QE turned out to be a permanent policy, much like Nixon's temporary suspension of the gold standard.
Right.
Today, the federal government cannot finance its multi-trillion dollar budget deficits without the Fed's printing presses. The Fed and other central banks exist to steal money from the public through inflation and redirect it to the politically connected. This has always been their primary purpose.
Huh, once again, they're being very selective of who yes. benefits and who doesn't in this
who's
scenario.
Who's in the club and who's not.
Yeah.
MMT, or modern monetary theory, is the economic policy currently being implemented in the U.S., despite the fact that it has caused significant hardship in countries such as Argentina, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. MMT is not a new or modern economic theory, but rather an old and harmful idea that has been repackaged as a new solution. Much like a lot of these schemes, some refer to it as the classic counterfeiting swindle. The implementation of MMT will likely result in the loss of Federal Reserve's independence. Central banks are discrediting themselves and their fiat currencies by adopting MMT, which will usher in a new era of monetary policy. This worldwide trend of currency creation and inflation is particularly devastating for savers and retirees who are bearing the brunt of the financial impact.
Isn't that the case mm-hmm. always?
Unfortunately, there's little any individual can practically do to change the trajectory of this trend in motion. However, individuals and communities can take action to ensure that they are better prepared for the challenges of the current monetary system. One way to prepare is to invest in tangible assets like gold and silver and Bitcoin, which can act as a hedge against inflation and currency devaluation. Bitcoin is scarce and is programmed to never exceed 21 million coins, which will only make it more valuable over time, and it is easily transported.
And that is one thing that people don't realize until we started talking. It's not like you can just start the printing press for Bitcoin.
No, you can't. It's in the code. You cannot. So think about what you can take with you if you need a bug out due to a natural disaster. You may not be able to take your gold and your silver with you. You might be able to take some of it. But if you've got a boatload of it, you're not going to be hauling all of that around
it's
with
heavy.
You. But you can take your Bitcoin seed phrase. And Bitcoin can only be stolen from you unless you're careless with it. Investing locally in projects that can build communities such as regenerative farming and similar initiatives is also a way to prepare for the challenges of the current monetary system, which is what Linda alluded to here before the break. If you're working on something out there, let us know.
Yeah, most definitely.
By supporting local businesses and projects, individuals can create resilient local economies that are less vulnerable to the shocks of the global financial system and disruptions to the supply chain caused by tyrannical policies. Regenerative farming, for example, focuses on creating sustainable and ecologically sound agricultural practices that prioritize soil health, biodiversity, and the health of the surrounding ecosystem. And they're not going to push those mRNA shots on their animals.
Right. And if you remember back during the Depression and stuff, this is what made the U.S. what we were.
Right.
Get the manufacturing yeah. back. Get all these farms
That's right.
back. That's what it took.
And then we had freedom gardens during
yeah,
World
right.
War II.
Exactly. Yes. yes.
So this approach can help build food security and promote sustainable agriculture practices that are less reliant on the global industrial food system. And other solutions include community currencies and bartering networks. These alternative currencies can help create local economic systems that are less dependent on the global financial system and more focused on building community resilience. As General Mike Flynn has been preaching for the last several years, local change has national impact.
Right. And in doing that, we don't have to worry about the chain of supply so much.
Exactly.
Because it's right here in our backyard. We just need to bring it all together, everybody work together, so it can happen. And we don't have to rely on the government. in the food chain and all of that other BS.
Exactly. Well, let's bring it home.
Let's bring it home. With
our favorite subject.
All right.
So,
wait a minute. I lost it. Okay, I'm going to bring it home with, you know, our whole thing is Bitcoin. So Bitcoin's promise is a stable monetary system. Bitcoin's promise is a stable monetary system, but don't expect it to tell you what it's worth on any given day. The only thing you can count on is the supply can't be tampered with by anyone, not even a central bank. Nobody. Some people wonder if it's a safe haven investment, but let's get real. It's not widely held enough to be a safe haven. It's still new, and during a global economic crisis, people will sell whatever they can, including Bitcoin. Excuse me. However, what's true is that Bitcoin is an anti-fragile alternative to our fragile financial system. And I'm not sure how you say it. Nassim Tablet's book, Anti-Fragile.
Yes.
He describes anti-fragility as the opposite of fragility. Try to say that fast.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Anti-fragile systems thrive on volatility and gain strength from it. Bitcoin's recent price swings, which we talk about a lot, and I have a lot of people ask about the prices going up and down, are the beginning of uninterrupted and unceasing price discovery. There are no circuit breakers or bailouts in Bitcoin. You don't have to worry about it. Each participant is fully accountable, and it is a market without moral hazard. When the dust settles, whatever doesn't kill Bitcoin only makes it stronger. Literally, it makes it stronger, which people need to start realizing. Bitcoin is surviving and thriving on its own without any central coordination. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's the land of the free and home of the brave. As it survives, its place in the world becomes stronger. And with each monetary stimulus injected into the legacy financial system, Bitcoin's value becomes more apparent. Even with all its volatility, it's laying the foundation for a more stable monetary system. The supply of Bitcoin cannot be manipulated, so its price and supply of credit are forever unmanageable. Golly, I'm getting tongue-tied here.
Unmanipulable. I tripped over that one a few times.
This means that the size of the Bitcoin credit system will never sustain otherwise unsustainable imbalances. This is where the contrast lies in practical application. The accumulation of sustained credit system imbalances induced by central banks is an inherent source of fragility in the global economy. Today, in a market built on a currency that cannot be manipulated, as soon as imbalances arise, economic forces will naturally course credit, preventing systematic credit risk. Bitcoin's fixed supply acts as a governor, stamping out fires as soon as they appear. For some, Facebook's Libra made Bitcoin more intuitive. For others, it's hyperinflation in Venezuela. Now it's becoming increasingly apparent the financial crisis and QE are reoccurring facts of life. Bitcoin is becoming a rally cry for those who see the train wreck coming and refuse to stand idly by. It's not just an act of civil obedience, but an individual recognition of the end of self-preservation. Bitcoin represents the individual freedom to convert real-world value into a form of money that cannot be manipulated. It is fundamentally freedom that must be earned. So stay humble, stack sats, and hold the damn line with it.
Yes.
Whatever it takes. And remember, whether government banned Bitcoin or blame it for failures of the legacy system, Bitcoin is simply a means to preserve our freedom. And with that, we're going to play this clip for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on, hodlers, gather around. There's a new sheriff in town. Banks are on the run from BTC. So hide your children, hide your wives. Wall Street crews catching knives. Everyone wants a piece, including me. Well, there are those who've come around, try to take the whole thing down. Controlling what's so she gave for free. So ask your questions, tell your lies, and throw it on an open diamond. Cross whatever border that you please. The light.
So true. This is about personal sovereignty. It's about sovereignty, self-sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Sovereignty is the key word. And having self-sovereignty, being able to sustain yourself, is what this movement is all about. And Bitcoin leads the way.
Yes, it does. And it can't be manipulated. You can't say that enough. There is nobody that can hold it over your head and make you perform a certain way to obtain it.
Right.
And it's obtainable by anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe in different increments, but anybody can buy Bitcoin.
Right. And it was a gentleman we were speaking with earlier today, and he says, well, you know, I just can't afford it. Well, how can you not afford it? You can buy one Satoshi. That's 1/100,000,000 of a Bitcoin.
Right.
So it is affordable for everybody. And I don't mean that with any disrespect, but when you see folks who are in African countries who are thriving and living on Satoshis,
right,
as a means of life, it is certainly something that you can buy. You don't have to buy a whole coin. And a lot of people do feel like, I have to buy the whole coin, and today at $28,000, I can see where somebody might say, I can't do that.
Exactly.
Because they don't have an understanding that you can buy a fraction of it, a portion of it, because one Bitcoin is 100,000,000 Satoshis.
Right. So there's a lot of pieces of that one million that you can buy. You know,
it's a paradigm. When you look at the dollar, how many pennies are there? There's 100 pennies. So if you want to buy a dollar, you could buy 25 cents of a dollar or 25 pennies.
Right. And there's a lot of platforms or exchanges that you can buy different increments.
Of course.
And of course, there's always some that are at the top end that you can only buy in at a certain amount. But there's a lot of places you can buy much smaller amounts.
And very few, I would argue, unless you're in a private level where, you know, you're a high-stakes investor where you might have a minimum. But for the most of us average folks, it's whatever you can afford.
Exactly. And it's not too late to get in the game. And, we say that over and over again. It's still new, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, but you got to start at some point.
It's kind of a somber day, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
When you think about everything we reported on, it's pretty heavy-duty stuff. But we want to bring this information to you. We've been bringing drips and drabs and sharing, you know, bits of information we think is important. But we're going to go heavy with this stuff because it is really important that we hold the line.
Yeah, we have to hold the line.
You have to hold the line because this is crunch time. When you start seeing the banks fail like this, there's going to be more. And when the banks have been nationalized, don't count on your neighborhood bank being around anymore because they're no longer relevant.
Right.
You might have Federal Reserve banks.
Isn't that scary?
And that was predicted. I remember somebody talking about that. I think it was a Bitcoin Ben that had mentioned that about 2 or 3 years ago. So I think we're coming up here to the end of the show. Are we still have some time?
Oh, okay.
All right. So,
you know, and back to us bringing this to everybody. We have always felt that this is education, that we need to educate people. And it goes across a lot of different subjects. But it all comes back to, money, freedom, and relying on your local economy, community, you know, stop being divided so much with people in your community, because that's exactly what they all want for us. The more that we can keep the fighting going on, that's all we're doing. We're not looking at other things in the picture that's going on that we need to. And that's why we try to make an education out of it.
It's in Saul Alinsky's playbook, Rules for Radicals.
Yep.
And I believe a lot of what he wrote came out of the Communist Manifesto. Divide, divide, divide. This is why we have all of this weird woke stuff that's going on. And it's it is purposeful to get our attention on other things while these tyrannical globalists are transforming our world into a vision that their own fiefdom, you will.
And I think the majority of the people out there all think
to get it.
Yeah, and they all think kind of the same way.
Yes.
It's not as bad as what the mainstream media and the sick individuals, whatever you want to call them, want us to believe.
Yeah.
I think the percentage is high of all of us that have think alike, but if they can interject or gaslight us to believe that we're not friends, guess what? That's what's going to happen.
Now, you just mentioned media, and I'd like to get a poll from folks in the chat. If you might offer up a yes or a no, if you would like to hear us do a rundown on the media industrial complex. It is huge.
It's huge.
So when somebody tells you you should be listening to your local news, would you like to know where that comes from? How it's created, how it's filtered down, and how it ends up getting to us, the end user.
Yeah.
Would you like to know that? So
hopefully they'll let us know. On our earlier program, you know, we used to think it was like five or six companies that created this mess. Two or three, actually. It all goes to the top of the pyramid with the same two or three. Regardless if we're talking about media, talking about our food, it doesn't matter. It's amazing. And if you would like us to do, it says, hell yes, in the chat room.
All right.
We'll do a deep dive into letting you know how all that ties together in a future program.
Because that's what's leading to this division.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because they're on both sides of the coin. People don't realize the man in black's on both sides.
Yes, indeed. How much time do we have, Liam?
About two minutes.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up here in just about a minute. We'll carry out with Mr. Robert Breedlove. Yeah. And then. Before we do that,
don't forget about Bitcoin Summit coming up.
Yes, indeed. October 5th and 6th. In Santa Monica at the hangar, at the Santa Monica hangar at the Santa Monica airport.
Airport, yeah. So there you go. Till next week.
We're going to wrap it up with one of our favorite quotes here from Robert Breedlove.
Have a good week.
When I understood the philosophy of Bitcoin, something clicked in my mind. The struggle we have been fighting for in Togo for freedom is completely tied to our decision to have an independent currency.
The currency in Togo, the CFA franc, is controlled and printed by the French Treasury. And her family has seen their life savings devalued time and time again. Farida questions why France keeps Togo's reserves in its banks, money that's earned by the Togolese people, and then is used to buy French debt to finance the living standards of French people.
Why can't we just use Bitcoin, which is more like a nationless currency, a currency that is not tied to a country, a race, an identity, the currency that belongs to everyone. And the most powerful part about it is the fact that it's immutable. The rules cannot be changed. Someone cannot wake up every day and announce that they are slashing its value by 50% and get us all poor.
Y'all, this train is bound for glory. there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.